So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? In the name of Jesus. Sinful people. Thanks, Jesus, for calling us that. Well, we have confessed this day that we are by nature sinful and unclean. So that must mean he is speaking to us. But in this text before us today, Jesus is teaching about prayer. The disciples are going to call a prayer meeting. They had just seen Jesus praying, and afterwards, one of them asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. Have you ever asked the same question? How do I pray? Or do you even think that praying is something that needs to be taught? Shouldn't you already know how to do it as a Christian? Many people, like I told the children, do not like to pray out loud or be called upon to pray in public because they feel they will get embarrassed or not pray the right way. So asking for a lesson on how to pray is a good thing. But where does the church go for this lesson? Where has it gone for all time? Well, the church. Wait a minute. What about the Bible? Aren't we supposed to go there? Yes, that is correct in the narrow sense. But in the wide sense, what words specifically? What words does Jesus use in the Bible? See, Jesus prays a lot, and we don't have many instances of the accounts of what he actually said. A couple of them are written down for our learning, though. But today is about how you pray, not how Jesus prays. Jesus gives the disciples what we now call the Lord's Prayer. But did you know that title is not what the church, for the largest part of history, called it? It was always called the Our Father. That's more precise because it makes it the prayer of the baptized. For only a child of God can call God Father. So, here we have two versions of the Lord's Prayer. The first one we know is Matthew 6, probably more familiar with that one. This one's in Luke chapter 11. So, I just want you to see that that means that by now, this is the second time that the disciples have heard this. Matthew 6 is a Sermon on the Mount where Jesus was teaching, and it had been about a year. So a year ago, they heard Jesus say pray like this. Now, this is called the Sermon on the Plain. It's a different sermon. So, maybe that disciple, the unnamed disciple, wasn't there the first time that Jesus had taught it. Like I said, it's most likely been a year at this time since Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Maybe he forgot. What about the part where you kind of really inspect it? Luke leaves out a couple of lines compared to Matthew's version. And you know, it's as if Luke does that because he's in a rush. Certainly, there's more Jesus wants to get to. Luke is just concerned that we get to the bottom of this moment's teaching. And that way, the prayer meeting is turning into a catechism class. But before we get to the story for the class, let's discuss a little more the how do you learn to pray part and from where the church, that answer I gave, gets it from. Well, most likely you learn to pray the Our Father from going to church, because this church is the school teacher of prayer. As a child first learns to speak from their parent to be able to answer them back, so too a child of God first learns how to speak back to God in their church, which is why we call the church your mother. And it is why we have so many written prayers handed down in the church through the ages. Our liturgy is full of pre-written prayers, and it is the way that the church has taught us to pray week in and week out. For example, even the confession and absolution that we said today is a type of prayer, asking God to forgive us our sins. And then the absolution is God's answer back to your prayer, audibly, to which you respond amen to. After that, we sang the true Lord's Prayer, that is the Kyrie, the Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy on us. And then from there we have what I was teaching the children once again, the collect of the day prayer. And yes, the word does come from collect, as in collects, a unified collection. It collects a big, renowned supplication from all of God's people as one big, whole prayer. So what's going on in that little prayer? And you notice that it's not a long one. And it's still in the prayer. So another thing I want you to kind of say, well, yeah, wow, I never noticed that. But you notice how in the collect form prayer of the day, before I start, I say, let us pray. But your lips aren't even moving. But nonetheless, you are praying with me. It's as if you are a mind of my lips, saying the words at the same time I am to the Father. That's why it starts with, let us pray. Furthermore, the collect is a theme of the day. Theme of the day in the church year, it goes with the theme of the preaching message. And it is to be seen as what the whole congregation is asking for as an appetizer to the gospel. Later in the service, of course, we have the prayer of the church, the singular prayer of the church, which is one prayer with many petitions, just like the Our Father has many petitions in it. And once again, even though I am the only one saying them, they are your prayers too. So, okay, back to the story. This is the one where Jesus has the guy going to his friend's house in the middle of the night at midnight. That's not a good thing. Waking up his buddy to give him some bread so that he can feed his guest. Naturally, like the friend in bed, you and I would think, what in the world is going on here? Why is he waking me up in the middle of the night? My whole family is asleep at this hour. Maybe you could hear the dogs barking all around the neighborhood. Why are you coming here at this hour? Come on. So the man tells him to go away. Ain't no way I'm getting up. But he keeps knocking. And it's like the Little Richard song. You can keep a knocking, but you can't come in. You know that one? Guy refuses to give up knocking. So to get him to stop and leave, a relent is given. I'll give you whatever you want. Just stop the banging already. So Jesus says, just like that man kept doing, keep asking and you will receive. Keep seeking and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be opened to you. And everyone who does this kind of thing will receive, will find, and will have the door opened up. But Jesus goes on with another view of it. Dads, if your child asks for a fish, would you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, would you give them a scorpion instead? Of course not. And then, if you sinful people, there's that line again, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now we have arrived at the heart of the prayer meeting. This is what Luke is getting at and what the sum of all the 11 verses are about. And it's not about asking just for whatever you want, as you can see. Jesus inserts what you should be asking for, if you catch that. But Jesus uses this snake and scorpion example because, believe it or not, it's not as crazy as it sounds. The misidentification could happen with those two comparisons back in those days. That's because back then, people looked at eels. You know what an eel is? They called them snakes when they went fishing. It's a type of fish. So it's possible you could have caught both in the night, an eel and a fish. So you had to pay attention. When you've got the two of them separating them out of bags, which one you're handing out? Have to look right. They have to look real good. And they fished in the dark. So it should make sense that it could be hard to tell. Therefore, the Father examines what the better gift is and should be. Sometimes we ask for snakes and scorpions, and we don't even know that's what we're asking for. Secondly, getting to the scorpion part, you know how they didn't have the same kind of cooking utensils or ovens or stoves like we have today? Well, if you cook an egg just simply in the shell over fire, didn't have water to boil it into, just cooking it over fire, what happens is that egg turns this orangish, darkish brown color, just like that, and it's an egg shape. You could look that up later at home. Just look up a Middle Eastern fried egg. And then when you see that picture, you'd be like, whoa, If you put it in a corner with a scorpion side by side, that egg will look like a scorpion sitting off in the corner. So it's not as crazy, these analogies that Jesus is using back then. You have to do a double take, reaching out to grab them, choosing them. So how much more should we ask for the right things? So clue in to how Jesus ends the prayer meeting. Not with the ask for anything, seek for anything, or go through any door anyone opens for you. He's making a point about good gifts, the better gift, gifts for the child of God, which is what? He tells us, your heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. The Holy Spirit is at the heart of this whole prayer meeting once again. And the Holy Spirit is the gift that you should ask for. Because if you really want to know about prayer, the Holy Spirit can teach you a lot. Now, I could picture Jesus telling the disciples, hey guys, you already forgot from first year of confirmation class, from first year of catechism, the prayer that you were supposed to memorize. So you need the Holy Spirit to help you recall it, to remember it. And speaking of the catechism, the third chief part is the Lord's Prayer in the catechism, and it has broken down the whole Lord's Prayer into seven petitions. Those seven petitions have an introduction and they have a conclusion as well. But one line from the parts of all of the what does this mean in the Lord's Prayer, it separates them out. But there's one line that every what does this mean statement start with. And in that, it says, even without our prayer, God still makes these petitions happen. He does them, even without our prayer, before we even pray them. That's what they all say. Before it starts getting into thy kingdom come, thy will be done, what does it mean? Well, it happens even though we're sitting here, Lord, whether we pray or not. It's amazing. But look what Isaiah foretold today. I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. So let's look at this petition, thy kingdom come, the second petition of the Lord's Prayer. And this, what does it mean? It says, the kingdom of God certainly comes by itself without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it comes to us also. And then it goes on and it says, well, how does God's kingdom come? God's kingdom comes when our heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit, so that by his grace we believe in his holy word and lead godly lives here on earth and there in eternity. How about that? God's kingdom comes without our prayer. In other words, we don't make it happen. We don't make our prayers come true. We just have an opportunity to become a part of them. But no, it's not an excuse not to pray. To not pray means to not want to become a part of God's kingdom. The Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, is actually an architectural schematic, and it covers all bases of prayer. It also shows us that prayers do not need to be long or long-winded for them to be effectual. But here we learn what to focus on, because God knows what you need. He loves to hear you say it, but what he loves most is when you ask for the Holy Spirit. Give me your Spirit, Jesus. I need it. Jesus knew the disciples would need it, the Holy Spirit. See, to them, after the resurrection, he seemingly abandons them after the death and resurrection. That's what it felt like to them. But he doesn't abandon. He gives them the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And you know, there, they weren't even asking for the Holy Spirit. But underneath all they were asking, to rid them of the worrying and wondering, all the confusion that had set in, the Father all along knew what they really needed, the good gifts. First, the Father gives away his Son. The Son who in the middle of the night emptied himself to feed you. And Jesus prayed right before he was given for you. Because we do have those words and that prayer recorded in John. See, the disciple John was a really nosy disciple. So he heard it. He heard the high priestly prayer of Jesus. Heard Jesus asking the Father to protect them when he departs, because they will be left in the world. Jesus even says, I'm not asking for you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. And by the way, that's the seventh petition in the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from the evil one. And the Father answers him, they are protected. You are protected. You. See, Jesus is the ultimate prayer warrior because he knocked on the Father's door asking to come down and seek you. And the Father opened the door to heaven that Christ may come to all those who believe in him, that they may have ultimate protection, protection from death, because they do not die though they die. Amazing. See, God's children will never lack what they need. Psalm of the day proclaims, fear the Lord, you his godly people, for those who fear him will have all that they need. And it says that even strong young lions sometimes go hungry. Those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. How can you make that promise, though, Pastor? Because it is the Spirit who is truth, who confirms this. That's the epistle, the testimony, that Jesus Christ was revealed as God's Son by his baptism in water, by his shedding of blood on the cross. So not only water, but water and blood. See, Jesus is more than a friend. He is a godsend. And so we have the three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And all three agree. How much more will the Father agree to whatever you ask on the basis of those three witnesses? Without the water, blood, and Spirit, my words even now would mean nothing, and all God's promises would be in vain. But they are not. We ask for the Spirit to continue to build us up in these truths. And that's why every time before I stand up here, I have to ask for the Spirit. I have to ask for him to give me the words aright to speak before I stand up here. And we are to ask the Spirit to give us these answers to all our wonderings, to remind us that we are kept safe. You see, in Holy Baptism, you do receive the Holy Spirit, just like the apostles did. And you didn't ask for him. The good Father just gives him because he knows what you need. But after that, because of the water and the word, you have the privilege of asking, of talking to the Spirit residing in you. The Father who gives the good gifts differentiates because good could look like not so good. So what does the Father do? He chooses to give you the dove instead of the donut. And now the door is always open to ask away, seek on. And if it ever feels like he took a nap on you, just keep knocking. See, the Spirit doesn't sleep. Maybe sometimes it feels like he does. Let me just tell you, that's because the Spirit doesn't like a lot of noise. He's a very peaceful neighbor. And so we can go to him, even though we are by nature sinful and unclean. Jesus, the Holy One, who is without blemish, forgives us, renews us, leads us through his Spirit, so that we may delight in his will and walk in his ways to the glory of his holy, holy name. It turned out to be a good prayer meeting that day. There isn't a need for the gospel writers after this to have to give us the Lord's Prayer a third time, see? So they must have finally caught on. In that way, life in the Son catches on too. To have life in the Son is to have eternal life, with and in him, the good gifts distributed to the children as they come to the table of loaves. See, this is the prayer meeting that gets us out of bed, folks. No more dreary eyes. No more dreary eyes. You can just knock and knock and knock. Who's there? Jesus is. Knock, knock. Who's there? Jesus is saying, come, taste, and see the guests who are fed eternally. And by that, we thank him and praise him in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.